Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Living in Liberty, from the series Stronger, exploring why Paul's call to flee from idolatry remains crucial for authentic spiritual freedom. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
I want to encourage you, open up your Bible this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll be in verse 14. If you do not have a copy of the scripture, there's one underneath every other seat. So feel free to reach underneath and grab that and follow along. And while you're turning there, let me just bring you up to speed. Paul has been talking to the Corinthian people, not only about their salvation that they share in Christ, but also how to live that out. Because it's one thing to come to know Jesus, it's another thing to live that out. And what the Corinthians have been doing is saying, well, since Jesus loves us no matter what, we'll just live however we want. And that's what Paul has been trying to address and correct for the last three chapters. And in chapter 10, what we're going to do today is we're going to take a look at his summary statement to all of that truth. And if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14, it really sums up everything that we're going to do. He says this, he says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. So everything he's going to set up for the rest of this chapter is that right there. That's the whole sermon. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, isn't it awesome the way that Paul addresses his church? Paul knows all the sins that they're in. He knows all their sexual immorality. He knows all their temptations. He knows they're out getting drunk. He knows they're doing all these things. And even though they're Christians and they believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're not living it out. And how does he refer to him? My beloved. I love you. And the reason I love you is because Jesus still loves you. And I love you too. Isn't that good news this morning? He says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. He's going to give him an instruction to get away from idolatry, to flee from it, to run away from it in the same way that he's expressed the same truth about sexual immorality a few chapters ago. Flee from it, run away from it. So we'll talk about what idolatry is in a second. And then he says, I speak to you as wise men. You judge what I say. I love that. Here's what he's saying. He goes, if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you can tell if I'm telling you the truth. So you judge for yourselves if what I'm about to reveal to you is truth, if everything that I've been talking to you about is truth. And let me just give you a little setup here before we get into the word this morning, because you need to know this. I mean, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest news on the planet. If you've never been in church before, just get ready, because you're going to hear the greatest news you've ever heard in the world. And it's this, is that God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that the second person of the Trinity became incarnate flesh. And what Jesus did for us is something you could never do for yourself. You see, the world is always trying how to figure out how to get right with God. And they have all these man-made ideas as to how to do that, and all these different religions that were formed as to how to do that, and all these different instructions. And what God reveals in his word is says this, you can't get to me, I'm coming to you. So Jesus Christ put on flesh, was born of a virgin, came to this earth, lived a perfect life, and guess what he did in your place? For all your sins, for everything you've ever done wrong to offend a perfect, holy God, Jesus Christ stretched out his arms on a cross. He died. He bled out to death, and through his broken body and through his shed blood, paid for every single one of your sins, which means this, any shame, any guilt, any I'm not good enough, any I'll never measure up, any there's no way God could love someone like me, Jesus said, it is finished, and he paid for it all. Better news than that, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He's alive. He ascended back into heaven. He's as alive as he's ever been, and he began to offer life from the day that he rose from the dead up until now to anyone who would want to come to him. Is that not good news or what? It means no matter who you are, no matter what your gender is, skin color, height, weight, background, whatever sin pattern you've had, Jesus says this, I love you with an unconditional love. I've already paid the penalty for all of your sins. Would you come to me? Isn't that great news? The living God of the universe, for free of charge, that he paid all for, says, you can have a relationship with me. That's great news. Here's the problem. For many people, after they accept Christ, they don't know how to walk in freedom. How do you live out your liberty? The Bible says it is for freedom that Christ Jesus set us free. The Bible also says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. For those of you who are believers, do you remember when you first came to Christ? You remember the first time that Jesus Christ was revealed to you as Lord in your life, and you knew that you knew that you knew that you were totally loved, and that all your sins were forgiven, and that he washed away all your past, and that he was indwelling you with his Holy Spirit, and you're like, oh, remember that? That's what it's supposed to be like all the time. That's not like a one-time thing that you refer back to in your past, and then you just kind of hang on and say, well, one day I'll get to heaven. I remember that one day that it was really cool to be with Jesus. All the rest of my life's been really hard. But here's the problem. There's two different roads that Christians walk down, and they're the roads of legalism and libertarianism. Legalism says this, yeah, you're a Christian now, and yeah, God paid for all of your sins, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot more things you got to keep in order to keep God happy with you. There's a lot more rules that nobody really told you about when you came to Christ, so let me tell you about all these rules. Because if you don't perform well for God, yeah, you still might be saved, but God doesn't really like you that much. So it's really important that you read your Bible. I would say it's important that you read your Bible. But I want you to read your Bible, and you need to do it every morning for at least a half an hour. Because if you don't do that, let me tell you something, God's mad at you. And you may have a bad day, and the reason you had a bad day is because you didn't read your Bible. And if you're not reading your Bible every day, you're not really being a good Christian. And prayer is important, but we make rules about prayer for how we should pray, when we should pray, the posture we should have when we pray. And if you don't do it in that specific way at certain specific times, then you're probably not doing it right. And God still loves you, but he's really disappointed in you. And there's certain kind of foods you can eat, and there's certain kind of drinks you can drink, and there's certain kind of foods you can't eat, and there's certain kind of drinks you can't drink. And there's certain kind of churches you can go to, and there's certain kind of churches you can't go to. And let me just fill you in, because you didn't know when you came to Christ, there's like 500 more rules that you've got to keep in order to keep God pleased with you. And it's called this. It's called religion. It's called legalism. And it's 100% wrong. It's a group of people that think that they have to perform to keep God happy with them. It's false. When Jesus died on the cross, let me just tell you, it was 100% sufficient. There is nothing you can do to make God love you any more, and there is nothing you can do to make God love you any less. If you read a different version of the Bible than I do, you're not loved any less, right? If you pray at different times than I do, you're not loved any less. If you attend a different church than I do, you're not loved any less, right? Legalism says there's a certain way to do it. Now, it's really interesting because when you get in legalistic groups, they're the only group that knows everything. That pocket knows just what the rules are and how you need to do it. And there's a tendency to think that, yeah, God, I know you forgave me, but I'm going to try to be real good. I mean, when Paul writes to the Colossians, he says this. They had this statement like, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. In other words, legalists are always like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. We're known by what we don't do. And so people that don't know Christ will say, I don't want to become a Christian because I know all the things I can't do anymore. And Paul says about that in Colossians 2:23, these are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body. And in other words, he goes, they appear to be good. I mean, you kind of treat your body bad and you fast and you do all these religious rules. It seems to be really good, but notice this, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. In other words, they mean nothing. I mean, Paul wrote the entire book of Galatians to the Galatian people because they lived in legalism. They believed, yeah, I got saved, but if I mess up, I'm probably going to hell, right? I grew up in the Midwest. That's how people in the Midwest think. Like when you preach the book of Galatians in the Midwest, people are like, no way. You mean if you're a Christian and you swear, God still may take you to heaven? Yeah, if you swear, God's still going to love you. No way. Didn't think he would still love you. But what about somebody who's a Christian who's truly trusted Jesus and they get drunk one night? They're not going to heaven anymore, are they? Yep, they would still go to heaven. No way. You mean God still loves people no matter what they do? Yes, right? Legalists don't get that. Legalists think God only will continue to love you if you continue to perform by your certain potential rules that you've set up for yourself. That's called legalism. On the flip side of that, which is what Paul's addressing in Corinth, is libertarianism, which is us in Denver. I know God loves me. I can do whatever I want and I'm still going to heaven. So I will. That's what he's addressing. Because just as much bondage as legalists have, so do libertarians have. And when you live with the idea that because I'm saved, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want, nobody can tell me what to do, you're in just as much bondage as legalists are. The way libertarians like to talk sometimes to legalists is, you guys can't do any of that stuff. Let me tell you this. I know I can do all of it and I'm still saved. And we addressed this last week. When Paul says flee from idolatry, idolatry is simply this. It's giving your ultimate allegiance and focus to that which is not ultimate.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Living in Liberty, from the series Stronger, exploring why Paul's call to flee from idolatry remains crucial for authentic spiritual freedom. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first-look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
Paul's going to talk about food sacrificed to idols here in a bit. Most of us don't have idols. Most of us don't have food that we sacrifice to idols, but it's idolatry is this. It's anything that takes our total focus and ultimate attention. It's where our heart goes. Right? There's things in this world, like we said, that aren't bad. Money is not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, if you're living on your own or you're providing for a family, I'd encourage you to work and make some. It's good. The love of money and the idolatry of money is wrong. Legalists ask, well, then how much is enough? Jesus would say, whatever I provide, just receive and use for my glory. Right? Just don't get caught up in the idolatry of things in this world. Family is a good thing. God created it. Marriage is a good thing. God created it. Just don't make it your idol, where that is your focus over and above the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, flee from idolatry. Because what the Corinthians were hearing Paul say, which he was saying correctly, is we get it. If we're saved, no matter what we do, we're going to heaven. So all things are okay for us. And Paul was like, You're still loved, but it doesn't mean that all things are okay. And that's what he's addressing here. Christians, listen to me. I'm telling you, I'll say it again. I already said it earlier. No matter what you do, God's not going to stop loving you. He demonstrated his love in Jesus Christ on the cross. This is not an issue of his love for you. This is not an issue, will God stop loving you? He'll never stop loving you. Here's the question. Are you being pleasing to God? Are you doing your best to bring God glory? That's what this whole summary statement is about. And in our Christian life, we have to ask ourselves, God, is there anything in my life that's getting in the way of you being on the throne of my heart? Is there anything in my life that I give more time, attention, effort, energy, money, or allegiance to than you? And Lord, if there is, would you correct me so that you can be the Lord of my life? Can I just give you one word of advice? Here's what legalists and libertarians miss. Legalists come up with all these rules to keep God's pleased. Libertarians tell you you don't have to keep any rules and God's still pleased. Here's what they miss. Jesus Christ is God. He's still alive. We're talking about the God-man Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a person. We're not talking about some distant God in heaven that just sits on a throne that we never get to be a part of. Well, do this, don't do that. Do this, don't. We're talking about Jesus who indwells us with his Holy Spirit, who is living and active, who we can have a conversation with, who we can hear from his word, who's saying, hey, listen, I want a relationship with you. Will you come to me and have relationship? Don't abuse your liberty and don't get locked up in legalism. Stay right down the center, making Jesus Christ Lord of your life, and listen to the Father through the Son pour out his blessing on your life, saying, I love you. You are holy. You are righteous. You are good. You are forgiven. You are mine. You are beloved. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remain in his love. And so that's what Paul's saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He's summing up his whole argument to the Corinthians, and he's going to basically tell them three different things when it comes to living out their liberty. Because it's one thing to live in the church, right, which is sometimes difficult because everybody else has an opinion for what you should be doing. And here's what I'd say about everybody else's opinion. Just go to Jesus and be very concerned about his opinion, and don't worry so much about everybody else's opinion. You'll live a lot more free. That's free of charge. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, he says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to you as wise men. You judge what I say. Here's the first thing he's going to say. When it comes to your Christian liberty, flee from idolatry because the Lord is jealous for your love. The Lord is so jealous for your love. Notice what he says. He's going to talk about Christian worship. He says, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. He's sharing a couple things here. He says, hey, when we come to worship, the reason we have a relationship with Jesus Christ is because of his body and blood. And when we come together and we take the Lord's Supper and we share in that communion, we realize the reason that we come together, the only thing that we have in common is that Jesus Christ is our Lord. And the reason he's our Lord is not because we performed really well or not because God really liked us. It's because God sent his son, Jesus, who died for us. And through his body and through his blood, we have life in the son, right? And because of that, when we come together and worship, we're sharing. Now notice what he says, because there's one body, we who are many are one. We're going to talk about that in a couple weeks when it comes to spiritual gifts. We're one body. So how you live, just check this out, how you live out your Christian walk impacts everybody around you. Did you know that? You're not just on an island. If you're married, it will impact your spouse and your kids. If you're single, it will impact our church. I mean, everything you do, you can't just live in isolation. Your Christian walk is either benefiting or hurting those that are around you. And he said, when we come together and we share or participate in Christ and we go through the worship of Christ, we're saying, hey, this is the Jesus we believe in. He's going to use Israel as an example. He says in the same way in verse 18, look at the nation of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices sharers in the altar? He's looking back at Old Testament Israel. He's like, when they came together and made sacrifices and they went through their religious routines that God had established for his covenant people, were they not sharing in the worship of Almighty God? He's like, when people come together and perform acts of worship, they're doing it to share in the God that they say that they believe in. We do that as a church. Israel did that as a nation. And now he's going to talk about the Corinthians hanging out with people that are sacrificing meat to idols. He's going to say this in verse 19. What do I mean then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? See, here was a Corinthian question that you're not asking. The Corinthian question was, hey, people invite us out to dinner and we go to their house and they're serving meat, but sometimes that meat is sacrificed to idols. And like, if we're going to be real Christians, do we eat the meat knowing that they're sacrificing to their idol gods, or do we not eat the meat? That becomes the question. And what about when we shop in the marketplace? Like, can we buy meat anywhere? Or like, in other words, here's the question. How do I live out my Christian walk around non-Christian people? How many of you have non-Christian friends? Anybody? I hope every hand goes up, because if you don't, we have a hard time sharing the gospel, right? The question becomes, how do I live with my non-Christian friends and be a Christian? Like, what does that look like? That's what the Corinthians are asking. You ever wonder that? Like, do I go with them? Do I not go with them? Do I hang out with them? Do I not hang out with them? I mean, when do I go with them? When do I not go with them? How do I know I'm not offending? What does that look like? That's what he's answering here. And he's like, am I saying that the meat sacrificed on the altar is something, or the idol is something? In verse 20, he says, no. He's basically going to say, no, there's no demon that's going to jump out of the altar and get into your meat and you're going to swallow the meat and all of a sudden you got a demon in you. There's nothing in the meat. And he's like, as a matter of fact, the idol's made of wood or stone. It's nothing wrong with it. So in your personal liberty, big whoop. But here's what he's going to say. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharers in demons. In other words, here's what he's saying. You may know that there's no demon in the idol, and you may know that there's no demon in the meat, but the people that are sacrificing to that idol, I want to tell you why they're doing it. They're doing it as an act of worship. And the pull in their act of worship is a demon that's behind the idol drawing them to worship, and I don't want you to participate in their worship. Now you say, I don't have any friends that are sacrificing meat to idols, so how does this apply? I'll tell you how it applies. In your Christian liberty, you may find at times that you have the ability to engage in certain behaviors or eat certain foods or drink certain drinks or go to certain movies or go to different places that in your Christian liberty, you say, I'm good with that. But when you go with a non-Christian and that's their act of worship, guess what? You are sharing in their worship with them. That's what it means. Let's just get real. It could mean this. When I was a new Christian, I'll just talk about me. It's easier to talk about me because then you don't think I'm talking about you. I'll talk about me. When I first became a believer, I ended up in one of these kind of more legalistic circles. Like, well, what's your testimony, Jeff? I'm like, I don't know what a testimony is. I never heard one. And then I heard it had a before Christ, when I came to Christ, and an after Christ story. So I started listening to all these stories. And all the stories were, I lived all this bad life. You know, I slept with all these different women, and then, or I got drunk, or then I did all these drugs, and then I came to Christ at such and such a time. And then they would kind of say with this face that was kind of plain, like, and now I'm a Christian, and now I, No, I just kind of live for Jesus. And they seem bored with that. I'm like, I don't have a testimony. I really didn't do all that much bad stuff before. And now I came to Christ. So you know what I thought? I got to go beef up my testimony. And so I did. And it's not fun. It's not fun. Because here's what happens. I had friends of mine in my fraternity. They go out to the bars. I knew as a Christian, I could have a drink. I was 21 years old. It's okay. Nothing wrong with that in my Christian liberty. Here's what's wrong with it. It was my friend's act of worship. They were going to worship. They were worshiping the God of the party spirit. And if I went along with them, even if I didn't drink as much, even if I didn't, quote, party as much, even if I was the good guy in the group, what was I doing? I was sharing with them that as a Christian, it's okay for you to worship how you worship. And as a matter of fact, I'll worship with you. Do you know what happened in my senior year? God began to reveal to me the truths of my identity in Christ, and I began to receive the love of the Father in a new way, and I began to want what God had for me, and I was willing to do whatever God wanted me to do. And here's what I began to do. I began to say no to my friends that were going out. They would say, hey, you coming out? No, I'm not going to do that tonight. Hey, you coming out with us? No, I'm not going to do that tonight. After about 15 or 20 times, they're like, hey, how come you never come out with us anymore? I'm like, because I don't want to, because it doesn't honor the God that I say that I believe in. Well, what are you going to do tonight? Well, you know what? I actually have a Bible study tonight, and I'm going to stay at home. Do you know during that season? Now, during the season, I was hanging out with my friends and I would tell all my Christian like leaders, like, dude, I'm like an evangelist. And they would ask me this question. How many have you led to Christ? That's not a fair question. Just trust me. I'm there with them. They see God in me, right? Do you know after I made a choice just to live for Christ, you know how many people came to Christ? Tons of people came to Christ. I was leading a Bible study for 50 people at the University of Illinois. I didn't even know what I was doing. But people were just coming out of the woodwork, like, how do you know this Jesus and how do you grow in this Jesus? I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to get some more information. Come back next week. We'll talk about it, right? When you live for Christ and you don't participate with others, so how does it look in your life? Like, where is it in your life that there may be some things that in your Christian liberty, you could say, I can totally do this and God's not upset with me. But if I walk with this group, if I go down this business deal, if I hang out with this group of people, if I share in their jokes, they're going to see me as a Christian and they're going to say, hey, they worship with me. I mean, I see it all the time in Christian circles. I'll hear non-Christians say, you know what? I'm no different than the Christian guys I know. We bet the same amount on the golf course. We swear the same way. We miss the same shots. I mean, it's the same thing. We drink as many beers as each other. There's no difference. There is a difference, but they don't see the difference because you're not living a difference. The question becomes, how do I live for Jesus so that non-believers see a difference? And here's what Paul's saying. If you truly are sharing in the blessing of Jesus, why would you share in the worship of somebody else? Flee from that. Don't worship what other people worship. Let them know that there's a difference in you. He says this in verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. He's like, if you say you're a believer and you're sharing with Christ, but then you're also sharing in the worship of non-believers, you can't really do that. You're a hypocrite. Notice what he says in verse 22, or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? We are not stronger than he, are we? Provoking the Lord to jealousy. I, the Lord your God, Exodus 20, verse 5, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love and kindness towards those who love me and keep my commandments, right? I'm a jealous God. A lot of people are like, hey, we're told not to be jealous. How come our God's jealous? Here's what it means that he's jealous. It means he's jealous for your attention and your love. He died on the cross for you and he's wooed you to himself and he loves you with an unconditional love and he wants relationship with you. If you're married, you'll get this. I love my wife. I'm not jealous of my wife, but I'm jealous for her love and her attention and her emotion and her touch and who she is. And if my wife decided to start hanging out with some other dude, which she would never do, but if she did, I wouldn't sit back at my house and be like, oh, okay, so you're out with Tom tonight? Okay, I'll see you when you get home. That never would happen because I'm jealous for her love. I would be invading space. I would be wooing back. I would be getting things out of the way. And he says, listen, listen, listen. If you're a Christian, God will move heaven and earth to keep you close to him. And even if you say, well, I'm a libertarian, I'm just going to kind of walk over here. Trust me, God will have a way of bringing you back. It just may not be as fun as you think.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Living in Liberty, exploring why Paul's call to flee from idolatry remains crucial for authentic spiritual freedom. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit BravePastorJeff.com. That's BravePastorJeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.